friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms that we hear in every Mass, part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and we connect that Psalm to the daily Mass readings. Well, today is Monday of the fourth week of Lent. Again, we're moving quickly here toward Easter, just a few weeks away before we get to Holy Week. And so today's Monday, the fourth week of Lent. The first reading is from the book of Isaiah. So this is right near the end of Isaiah, the 66th chapter in Isaiah. This is from chapter 65. It says, "Thus says the Lord, lo, I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create." You know, oh, I love that. So it's about a new heavens and a new earth. Again, kind of a pop apocalyptic language, like kind of the book of Revelation. Talking about a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation. Well, wait a minute. Didn't God already say that he wasn't going to destroy the earth again after the flood with Noah? Didn't he make a covenant? And the covenant was, you know, the sign of the covenant was the rainbow, that he will not destroy the earth again. So what is Isaiah talking about here? No, no, no. I think this is an anticipation toward Jesus, right? So the new creation that God is going to give us is through his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is going to create a new way for us to have life with the Father forever by following his example. You know, he's going to conquer death. And that's going to open the door back to eternal life once again, you know, and it's through that life, you know, that ultimately there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. We get our bodies back at the end of time, you know, so I think Isaiah is anticipating all of that. And I love when he says, there'll always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create. Amen. You know, this joy and happiness and all the things. So when you go, whether that's going to see a beautiful, like here in Oregon, the mountains and nature, you know, Grand Canyon, or going to the beach and the beauty of the beach, or the beauty of your spouse, or a baby. Oh, babies. I love babies, man. They're the best. You know, how can you not be happy when you're around a baby? Come on now. Babies are awesome. You know, but things that are hearing great music, going to see your band in your favorite concert, you know, all those are ways that we can rejoice in the happiness of what God created. You know, that's awesome. I love that from Isaiah. And then the gospel is from the Gospel of John. You know, Jesus left Samaria, heading to Galilee, for he himself testified that a prophet no longer has honor in his native place. You know, he was not welcome in the place where he grew up. So I said, I'll go out where people want to hear what I have to say. You know, so he came into the region of Galilee, and the Galileans, it says, welcomed him. They had seen what Jesus had done when he had been at the feast. And so he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. We see here of a healing that he does for an official there. You know, unless the people see his signs and wonders, you will not believe. The royal official said to him, "Come down before my child dies." He goes, "You may go, your son will live." And the man believed what Jesus said to him and left. And on his way back, he received word that the boy had recovered. And when he asked him, when did this happen? He realized it was a time that Jesus had said. Again, Jesus bringing forth new life. It just, these miracles are just an example, just a sample of the life that God's going to bring to us because of his death and resurrection. You know, it's anticipating what's going to be happening at the resurrection that we're going to be commemorating here very soon during Holy Week. And so the psalm is Psalm 30. So Psalms, of course, 1 to 41, first 41 Psalms are in Book 1 of the Psalms, all written by David. So this is definitely a Psalm of David. So it's Psalm 30. So it's Mizmor Lamed, which is Psalm 30, and look at the prescript of the psalm, which doesn't, by the way, at the Mass, when we hear the psalms, it doesn't have the prescripts or the superscripts. Because you remember in the earlier shows, when we were going through each of the psalms kind of systematically, you know, they had a prescript or a superscript there, but we don't include those and when we pray the psalms at Mass. So this one is for the dedication. This particular psalm was written for the dedication of a temple. So it says, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Right? I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Again, beautiful tie-in to Isaiah, the first reading. You know, Isaiah talking about creating a new heavens and a new earth, new creation, reveling in the beauty of God. You know, and so, yeah, he's going to rescue us from death. He's going to rescue us from the thing that separates God, separates us from God the most, is his death. You know, that final separation, which actually is going to save us from mortal sin, you know, from the effects of mortal sin, which is the death forever, being separated by God forever, you know, by our own choice. So God is going to give us a choice. Will you freely accept to follow me and give your life over to me? Or are you going to choose to say no to my invitation to love and to life and to intimacy and to communion? You know, we can choose death or we can choose life. You know, and what does it say in the scriptures? Choose life. So I love this psalm where we're choosing to be with our Lord forever in heaven. All right, it says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. Again, from the netherworld here is referring to Hades or Sheol, which is the abode of the dead. Remember, because up to this point, there's no hell yet. You know, so everyone from Adam up to St. Joseph, those who had died were in Sheol or Hades, where Jesus went on Holy Saturday to bring those souls out of there to heaven with him. You know, and those who chose not to accept that invitation, then that's where hell began, the eternal separation of God forever. That's why he said, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from those from going down into the pit. Again, referring to Hades or Sheol. Because if this was hell, God can't rescue from hell. It's too late, right? So we're talking here about salvation that comes from God. You know, for even though we've turned our backs on him, we have not said no to him forever. You know, and we've all done that. We've all sinned. We're all sinners in need of God's mercy. Right? It says, sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. His anger lasts a moment, a lifetime, his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with dawn comes rejoicing. Right? And so it talks about the seasons that we have. Sometimes there's seasons of joy, sometimes there's seasons of great sadness. But the Lord will be faithful to us no matter where we are in our life, no matter where we are in our walk with him. The Lord will always remain faithful to us. You know, it says his anger lasts a moment. Again, God doesn't have emotions. Again, many times, David here in the Psalms, as well as other writers of the different books of the Bible, will often use human language, human anthropology, human emotions human attributes that they put onto God in order to kind of describe how God would feel. You know, although God doesn't have any feelings, you know, when we do things that displease God, you know, just like if you do something to displease your spouse or your parents or something like that, you know, they get angry, they get upset with you. And the same thing. So they're putting that kind of emotion on God, who is our Father. So they're saying God is angry or God is joyful, you know, or God is sad. You know, when we do things that go against God's law, then they sometimes attribute these feelings or emotions to God, you know, so we can have an understanding of how our decisions and our behaviors are affecting our relationship with God. So you using human anthropomorphic language to give attributes to God, which I think is awesome.
For more on the Psalms with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.